All right, it's recording. So I don't want to hear any more complaints. We're talking about the only stories told in this class are the good ones, are mine. Your stories could be great, but they're not going to be good. What is it? Go ahead.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
I'll sum it up. Freshman year, we were trying to throw like a little party in our dorm to meet people. We went to the liquor store and we got 2 bottles of margarita mix and 2 bottles of tequila. We were making them and it was like the worst margarita I've ever had. What we didn't realize is the margarita mix already had 40% alcohol in it.
Oh my God.
The tequila. So after one, yeah, you can just give away.
Yeah, the party was over after one.
We puke all over our room. Yeah, we got caught first.
See, you learn something in college. Which reminds me of a joke. This guy's really stupid. He goes to the doctor and says, I'm stupid and everything's terrible. The doctor says, take a pill. I got these pills. He goes out back and he picks up his pet rabbit, cleans out the rabbit cage, puts all the pellets into a bottle. The crap, you know. And hands it to the guy and says, here are the smarter pills. The guy says, thanks, doc. He goes home. Takes the pills, nothing happens. He comes back to that doc. I've taken the pill, nothing happened. Doc says, take two. So he goes, takes two every day. He comes back and he says, doc, you know, I'm not getting any smarter, but these things taste like crap. The doctor says, see, you're getting smarter. Okay, so much for that. That sort of fit in with your story, sort of.
Yeah, sure.
We're talking about money today, compensation. And as you can imagine, this is an extremely important topic. It's important because, of course, a whole amount of money is spent on employees, your labor force, and the like, not to mention the other component, which is benefits. So we have both pay and benefits falling under the compensation rubric. So that means that it should be handled well. So compensation, fallout to pay, which can be contingency pay, like, you know, bonus money that you get for selling a certain amount of stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. Or it can be benefits. Here. There's another component in compensation that I'm not going to talk about because it's not really something the company controls over here. And yet, it's a very powerful motivator for why employees happen to join one organization versus another. And it's a form of compensation, but it's not controlled by the company. What is it, for example?
Health insurance?
No, nothing that costs money.
Stock options?
Location?
Retirement?
Location, because of the...
taxes?
Well, you can put location. There's no money associated with this.
Okay.
What would be something that has no money attached to it but could be influenced by location?
The beach.
Which is?
Vacation.
All I ever want.
Should I just start to spell it and then you get it?
Wonderful.
Water.
Weekend.
Well, weekends.
Does every job have a weekend associated with it? Yes. So that's not this. Okay. This is something which is variable.
Weather.
Thank you.
Weather.
Weather is something that employees get by joining certain jobs versus others. It's a form of compensation, which is why, for example, companies in Hawaii, I'm learning how to say it. If I ever go there, I'll have it down. Hawaii, it seems like there's about 40 syllables in there, all of which aren't quite right, has great weather, so they don't pay as much. The salaries there are lower, because they're paying employees sunshine dollars, so to speak. Okay. What else could be a valued, I'll just number them while we're here. What else could be a value added to a job that the company really doesn't
living
have
expenses,
to do anything
like
for?
Nightlife?
Living expenses?
Sure, nightlife. Some places are totally dead. I've had employees say, students say, I'm not going there because there's nothing happening. It's in the middle of nothing, right? The nearest thing to do is 40 miles away. So from that point of view, location here, particularly for younger people, is an important component.
Living expenses?
Certainly something, yep. You know, I told you that my son's house in California, $1 million house, $1.2 million, right? How big is it?
Tiny.
Talk about the size of this room. A little bit bigger. Got a nice yard, too. No grass. Can't have grass. Got to have pine cones or something, whatever. No grass, because there's... Because there's no...
Water.
No grass, no water, exactly. But 1.2 million bucks. 1.25, as a matter of fact. All right, what else?
Maybe like how close you are to your family or something?
Yeah, sure. So, relatives. My son and his wife over in Wilmington are there because her parents are there. One you're really missing that I would like you to have because it's so important.
About the commute.
Begins with a P.
People.
P-R. E.
Presidents.
Huh?
Presidents.
What is it? Why would you want to teach at Harvard rather than Slippery
Prestige.
Rock? Prestige, exactly. A school or a job or whatever has prestige. Working for IBM or working for now Google, Facebook, one of those things, it's huge. They get like hundreds of thousands of applicants at Google each year or some such. I heard some number. Yeah, living expenses, maybe you have relatives in the area, prestige, weather, location, etc. So these are all things that are compensating an employee for working there, but the company doesn't really have much to do with it, so it's not something we're going to go into. But it is controlled, and it is used to attract employees in lieu of giving them more money, for sure. I had my good friend Checky Tandev, an Indian student, getting his PhD at Virginia Tech when I was there all these years ago. In hotel hospitality management, one of the few schools that does a PhD in that. Anyway, Checky gets his PhD, and here are his job options. Well, he had a lot because there weren't that many, but these are the ones that I want to tell you about. He had Hawaii, which was offering, I think, $28,000. This was 30 years ago. Hawaii, San Diego. They were maybe 30, I'm trying to remember, and Cornell, 26. Which one did he take?
San Diego.
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Cornell. Well, you only have one school left to guess, so go ahead, say it.
Cornell.
Cornell. And why did he go to Cornell?
Prestige.
Prestige. Within 1 year, he was earning more. Bear in mind, this was 1986 or something. Within a year, he's making more than he was earning at Cornell from consulting. And I used to see his name in the Wall Street Journal. Read the Cornell professor, Checky Tandev, states that the travel industry will, and then fill in some BS, you know, whatever. Then a couple months later, the experts change their mind, you know, Cornell. Professor Chickadee says that such. Whatever. So they're quoting them all the time, which is incredible from the point of view of generating consulting business. Oh, people are always calling me up for interviews. You're hired. We'll take you on as a consultant. So that's exactly what he did. So, and he knew what he was doing when he took this job. So this stuff here does add to the picture of value. And Jody and I came here, the pay was okay when we started, but we came here because of the environment. We wanted to be in this area. You know, from, we had 10 or 11 offers, whatever it was, I forget now. All right, so from that point of view, we're looking at stuff that we can actually control, and I want to give you a little philosophical background here, but don't doze off on me. When we decide, when the company here at Time One decides to create a certain pay for its employees, they need to be aware of the goal at time two that they're trying to achieve. Part of the HR strategy, this is the company strategy, of course, part of the HR strategy to get over here is to have the right person at the right place at the right time. Oh, remember that. And very much, that consideration of right is going to be determined by the pay. Now, most of us think that pay is a variable with which the company just increases and they get better and better employees and are therefore going to be able to achieve their goals that much better. You know, if you have somebody, you're hiring doctors, you're better off to have a doctor who's been in that particular field of medicine for a long period of time, pay them more, you'll be less lawsuits, more people attracted to your hospital, whatever. However, I want you to stop that consideration and think of it in a more generic form. When you give pay to somebody, I'm drawing a bag of pay, see? When you give pay to somebody and you hand it to them and they see it, what's the first thing that happens to them?
Good reaction.
Or?
Bad reaction.
Or? We had good reaction or?
Bad reaction.
Bad reaction. They have an emotional response to that pay, right? Do you see what I'm saying? They have an emotional response to that pay. And as all of you probably realize now, an emotional response then leads to what? A physical response, indeed. Right? If somebody comes in here with a handgun, we're going to be afraid, and our response is going to be to charge out through the back door, me first, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at here then is an understanding of the emotional response by an employee and an action. The action may be that the employee does something that follows that helps the company achieve its goals, or something that doesn't help it achieve its goals. So, listen up, guys. So listen, what happens is you hand somebody pay, they're gonna have an emotional response and then a physical response. That physical response has to line up with the goal, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? If they look at that and say, that's fantastic, all that money, and I can do nothing here. We just sit behind the stacks of boxes and play canasta all day, and you're giving me way more than anyone else would pay. I'm staying, right? That's not good for the company. On the other hand, if they say, you know, that's fantastic pay. I know what it's like out there. I'm really happy, and I'm going to really work hard to keep this pay. That's fine. Then they work hard, and that helps the company achieve its goals. On the other hand, let's say you hand them a little tiny sack of pay. There, you hand them that little tiny sack of pay. They're going to look at it. What's going to happen? I hate that. It's lousy pay. Then, what happens?
They're going to quit.
They may not work as hard, or they'll leave, right? If they don't work as hard, I can give them the necessary warnings following various termination guidelines, which I'll give you in a couple weeks, whatever, or they leave. Companies that intentionally do this do it for a reason. How many of you worked for low pay somewhere, or what you thought to be low pay? Gee, what a surprise, right? And what was your response?
Pissed off.
Didn't really try that hard.
Right. You didn't give them particularly much because of equity theory considerations, which I'll talk about in a minute, or you just sort of grin and bear it until you could leave. Does the company care that you've left? No. And why is that? Because you're easily replaceable. And they're in an industry which is called a labor-intensive industry. Labor is an expensive component, is a high percentage of the cost of a particular product that they're selling. So in a labor-intensive industry, they're not going to pay much because they don't want to jerk the price up. There's another side to the coin that I'll talk about in a minute. But in general, places that you've worked, certainly places where I've worked, where I've got, you know, less money for nice carpenter all my life. So basic until this. And then up until that point, sometimes I was paid pretty badly, sometimes I was paid pretty well, just depends. And in general, I wanted to leave because of that. Did they care? No, because they were just gonna hire somebody else and just figured the person was desperate and would take the job. It's okay. So We're looking here at this idea of emotional response to an action, and the action is aligned with the strategy of the organization. And particularly, labor-intensive organizations pay as little as possible so they can keep the overall cost of labor as a minimal component of the market cost of the when they go to sell it in the market. Okay, that's a strategy. Now, the other side of the coin is, and I, since I'm a human resources type of person, I strongly believe, and even in a crappy job, that you can pay more in a labor-intensive job and get more output to offset the extra cost. That's just my own opinion, having fooled around with this for all these years. So you get somebody who's good at, you know, building houses or whatever it might happen to be. The first time I was working down in Florida, I was putting up a condo down there, and first day on the job, get down there and work with Henry. I may have told you this already. And it's this wiry guy. Always look out for the wiry guys, particularly in construction. They're going to work your tail off. Anyway, he's down there framing up the inside of a condo apartment, you know, apartment or whatever the hell they call it. It's a concrete block, and he's just putting wood studs up. That guy went through this. He was earning less than I was making, which at the time I was making maybe $5, and he was making $4.75 or something horrible. That guy went through that room so fast that all I could do was get in his way. That's all I was doing. He didn't even want me in there. He was working so fast. There's a situation where he's happy with the pay. He's proud of the work that he's doing. He's getting proudness out of this, prestige out of being so fast at building these condos. Man, he's unbelievable. Okay, so in that situation, the company is getting great work for low dollar. And they're happy with that. But if he quit, they would have been unhappy to lose a good employee, but they would have been easy to find somebody to replace him, at least nominally replace him. They wouldn't have been as good. There's no way. So companies keep this in mind as they price. But my belief is that well-trained and at least reasonably paid people will output somebody who's cheap, who's expendable in the same job. That's just my own philosophy. But think about it. See what happens. Experiment with it as time goes by. All right. So now, if we're keeping that in mind, I'll ask you the next question, which is, how do you form an emotional response to your pay? So if you see this bag, how do you decide whether you are happy or sad or angry?
What you think about yourself?
Like how, yeah, do you see yourself? So I'm handing you a bag of pay. How do you determine whether or not you're happy with it?
Guess how good you think you are at your job, right?
Or do you enjoy your job?
Past experience.
Yeah, past experience.
But still, okay, past experience gives you a reference point. But standing right here as the pay's hand to you, you count it or whatever, the guy says you're going to get $12 an hour or whatever it might happen to be. How do you respond to that offer? What is it that allows you to respond? How do you know how you feel about that offer?
Your expectations.
Expectations based on
what we see others making in the same position.
Yeah, particularly. So, like here, did I tell you this already about the Wall Street Journal and how I got paid? Did I tell you this, or was it the other class?
Other class.
Okay. When I got hired here, I applied to a bunch of different schools and got a number of offers, blah, 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 blah. And when I finally decided I wanted to come here, because Jody said I wanted to come here, and then once I was told where I wanted to go, they said, how much money do you want? And I said, $42,000. And the guy said, the chairman at the time said, oh, you read the Wall Street Journal, didn't you? There had been an article in the paper about what management professors were earning that year on average, very conveniently for me, because I wouldn't have known what to say, you know. So I just said 42. He said, that's fine. That's what the market is, apparently, because it was in the journal today. I said, cool. How did the Wall Street Journal come up with a number?
Ask people,
right? Doing that same job, management professor, right? So you form your opinion about pay in the same way, if you know it. You're going to form your opinion about your pay based on what others doing the same job get. And particularly if we're looking at same job, and you know it, same company, that's going to be a starting reference point for you for sure. Did you study equity theory in OB?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is pretty much what this is. We're talking about equity theory here. And this is your outcomes, right? Over input. And so you're looking at a particular job. You know what the outcome is roughly for, you know, management professor or dishwasher or whatever it might happen to be. And so you have this dollar expectations here. You know roughly what you're going to put in. So you want to match up here. And if you don't match up to that, call the relevant other, you don't need to know that in the equity theory discussion. The relevant other is the person you compare yourself to. Okay, who else could you compare yourself to? Since you may not know what's going on in that organization, who else could you compare yourself to?
The market.
The market for?
Your position.
That job in?
Other companies.
Other companies. So two. This, by the way, is called employee equity. So here we're talking about same job, other company. This is called external equity. I'll put quotes. External equity, employee equity, and we have one more. You're on the job. Now you're working, and you look around you, and you make one more comparison. How does your pay compare to?
Same company, different job.
Same company, different job. Same company, different job. This is called internal equity. Right. Internal equity. So, for example, you know where this is a huge issue in a university, for example? Doing exactly the same job, comparing yourself to others. There's going to be some people in a university setting that are extremely unhappy. Who is it?
The new people.
The new people sometimes do better, depending on market demand. When I came in, I was pretty much right at whatever the best people being paid were being paid.
Some people that have been here for a while then. They say the
senior professors. But this is, in this particular situation, internal equity. So we're looking at the same job, college professor.
In different schools, like business college versus English.
Oh my God, yes. Home ec. What do those professors get over there? Somewhere between $1.40 and $1.80 a year. It's unbelievable how poorly they're paid comparatively. They get like, I don't know, they may get like $40,000 or $50,000, something like that. Really poor. So that's an internal equity consideration. And why do home ec professors get less than business professors, for example?
Do you need a PhD to teach?
Then they need both. Both of them have PhDs. PhD and home ec. Now there's a bad career choice in my opinion. Don't say anything. Just saying. Oh God, that's right.
Less desirable?
No, it's not. They're probably very desirable and also very intelligent.
There's tons of funding for this department.
Position.
It's not that. What is it?
Could be the perceived significance of the job.
There's that, but that's significant because of what?
The funding for the college.
It's opportunities. What opportunities do home ec have? Home ec professors have versus business school professors? Do you think?
You can go make tons of money elsewhere.
Pardon?
A business professor should go make lots of money elsewhere.
Yeah, pretty much. Given that they're not total morons in terms of social behavior and the like. If they're, you know, reasonably intelligent, they know their topic and they can get along in an organization, they can do a lot better. So what we're looking at here is this idea of the same organization, different internal equity. But if that internal equity is arranged in such a way that it makes sense, then people buy it. Even, I'm afraid, the home ec people, they'll complain about it, but they understand the market differences, demand differences. It's the same thing as jobs in an organization. You know, I've heard this huge thing about how there's a shortage of machinists. Nobody can make machine tools and that kind of stuff anymore. And so when they get them, they're highly paid. And for manufacturing here in the States, somebody has to make these machines and take care of this and that. Those people get really well paid because there's so few of them anymore. Usually just old-timers can do that. But now those young people that have machine tool trades, are highly sought after and make a lot of money compared to others in that organization that are doing marketing or whatever it might happen to be. So that's kind of interesting too. But these equity here, these equities, are the things that are considered when a company decides what they're going to offer employees in particular jobs. Which means they're considering what they are going to do as that employee responds to the emotion of that pay and what their actions might end up being too. To replace a professor is a timely, takes a long time to do. It takes at least a year. So it's not the kind of thing that they want to have to do too often. It's time consuming and it's very risky. You don't really ever know what you're going to get. You sort of know, but you can never be really sure. You get these little martinets in here. So it's an issue. So what we're looking at here is this ongoing process of the company working with its pay, considering external and internal factors to try to elicit an emotion that causes an action that gets us to our goals. So it's not easy. Does it mean that pay can be set and then forgotten? No, it means it has to constantly be looked at in terms of whether or not it's eliciting what we want it to elicit. Okay, to keep up the professor consideration, what happens if professors in the college business, across the university, hasn't received a pay raise in 6 years? What's going to happen?
They're going to go somewhere that can give them a pay raise.
And who has the most mobility?
Business professor?
Well, no. Within any department, who has the most mobility?
Oh, the ones with tenure.
Well, go back. The ones who are highly skilled. In other words, have lots of research, are good in the classroom, do lots of stuff outside to help other companies and the university. Those people have the biggest job mobility, and so they leave ASAP. Leaving, less good, let's put it that way, professors behind, in my opinion. So you're still going to get good professors, but you're losing the very best. And as far as I know, you are. So that's not a good thing. Somebody hasn't thought through the pay policy very appropriately, or they haven't taken my class or something in terms of what you want. Okay, and this happens at any organization. You have a designer who can design some sort of software. The company decides not to pay him as much as he wants. Where does he go? Someplace else and designs video games or whatever it might happen to be, and earns more or starts his or her own company, etc. So we're talking about in that particular situation, very much of a competitive environment. So companies need to be aware. So they look at these particular equities. And make those comparisons and set their pay based on what they see employees seeing, and then trying to interpret what their reactions will be and set their pay to elicit the response that they want. Okay, so keep that train of events in mind, and I'll talk more about it on Tuesday.